Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn to the book of 2 Timothy. We'll be looking this morning at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 and following. So there was a very stingy old man. He was liked by almost no one. His demeanor was the grumpy, abrasive fruit of a life dedicated to himself with selfishness and bitterness. His anger turned inward. His pain was buried in his heart. Loneliness in his life was so pervasive that it was now largely unnoticed. His fellow man was merely a place to transfer his own inward pain, and compassion was gone from his heart, as was every relationship that could elicit it. So defined was his character by his shortcomings that even today his name continues to define similar behavior. Scrooge. Ebenezer Scrooge. We think of that name and we think of a spiteful, bitter old man who cared for no one but himself. And so Charles Dickens' fictional story called A Christmas Carol is still popular even today. It was written originally in 1843. In that classic story, Scrooge is visited by several apparitions from the past, the present, and the future to give him a glimpse of his life in a way that he never saw it before. That's what I want to do this month, the month of Christmas. I want us as a congregation to look at Christmas past, which we're looking at today, the past in our lives, and Christmas present, which we'll look at in 2 weeks, and the Christmas future, which we'll look at the last Sunday of December. When we look in the Word of God, we see the past, our past, God's past. We see the present and we see the future. Sometimes we see our past, which is not always pleasant. And we see the present, and then we see our future in two terms. We see our future in a bright and hopeful and wonderful way as life gives way to eternal life, which gives way to heaven. And we see the possibility of a bleak future in that of death and hell. I want us to look at Christmas past, present, and future with the Bible as our tool and the Spirit as our guide. Looking at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. So don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me as prisoner. Instead, share in suffering for the gospel. Rely on the power of God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And this has now been made evident through the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel I was appointed a herald, apostle, and teacher, and that is why I suffer these things. But I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to guard what has been entrusted to me until that day. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, right now we ask for your Spirit to come and to teach us from your words, which bring us life and hope. Father, I pray that this morning we would be encouraged from your word in Jesus' name. Amen. In the passage that we just read, we very easily see the past and the present and the future. We see the past in the fact that he saved us. He called us. This was purposed before time began. All of that's in the past. And we see the present. We see that this is now being made evident. This is happening right now around us. And we see that for them, the present was through the appearing of Jesus Christ who came in this time. And the future we see in the passage that it brings life and it brings immortality. That's all in the future. Everyone sins. Everyone has sinned. And some of you, more than others, are visited regularly by ghostly reminders of your past and the mistakes of it. You're reminded of your failures or your shortcomings or disappointments and the pain of past failures. And some just long for a chance to have been able to have made different decisions. There's a lot of ways to deal with your failures and your hurts and your pains from the past. One way is to blame others. It's common today in some counseling to go and sit down with a counselor and have struggles and for them to dig into your life and look for the people in your past who caused the problems that you have. And somehow there can be a relief found in just finding someone to blame for what's happened in my life. And some people are brought comfort by that. That person's always looking to blame someone else and rarely owns their own failures. Others deal with the past by blaming the devil. David Jeremiah rightfully said that God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life, but Satan hates you and he has a strategy to destroy your life and everything that God loves. And Satan is at work as well. Sometimes we look at the failures in our past, in our own lives, and we blame the devil. Some wear the t-shirt that says, "The devil made me do it." You know, the devil can tempt and scheme with his brilliance, and he is brilliant, but he can't make you do anything you don't want to do. The devil has remarkable influence. The devil can stack a dangerous house of cards around you and tempt you to tease the edge, to give him a foothold, and that whole house of cards can come tumbling down, but somehow you toppled the cards when it's in your own life. Some blame others, and some blame the devil, and some blame themselves for everything. We know that we fail. We know that we mess up. We know that we grieve some of those things. And some people have an overdeveloped sense of personal responsibility, not just for their own failure, but for the failures of people around them. And they spend years blaming themselves for mistakes in parenting or children or at work and others. And they just are riddled with guilt because they feel all the responsibility for all of these disappointing or painful things. The apparitions of past failures haunt many different persons in many different ways. Christians know that Christmas is about Jesus and His coming, and that somehow this changes everything. The Christian says, "I was and am a sinner. I have sinned. I do sin. I will sin. But my relationship with Jesus, the baby who came at Christmas, changes everything about that. My relationship with God changes how I view my past, my present, and my future." I want to share a couple clues from 2 Timothy today that should help to deal with a painful past. And not everyone needs this. And some people that I meet have a very good sense of this. They understand that they did some things that were bad and they don't grieve too much about that. God's forgiven that. They have a healthy sense of who they are today and that God forgives them. But many wrestle much with this. And so if you're one of those persons that you don't need this too much, there's people around you that do. And you have to know how to help someone else who can't get beyond the pain of a broken past. What we find in the passage today, first of all, is that we are to rest in our salvation. We are to rest in our salvation. No one here today who is a Christian pulled themselves up by their own bootstraps. No one gritted their teeth long enough and hard enough so that God would come into your life and change your heart, and somehow you are the maker of your own salvation. No one in this room has that story. The Bible repeatedly affirms that no one earned the favor or benevolence of God by their own efforts. Look at 2 Timothy 1:9, our passage today. "Who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace." Hallelujah! My salvation is not because of a bunch of good things I did. Is that other places in the Bible? You bet it is. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Most of you probably know that by memory. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. "For by grace you are saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It's God's gift." Why? So that no one boasts. If your salvation was a work of your own effort, then we would have something to boast in to say, "Well, yeah, sure, I'm saved, but well, that's because I earned it. That's because I'm the one who did this or did that, or because I'm..." And the Bible forbids that kind of thinking. Another very familiar verse, Titus chapter 3, verse 5. "He saved us, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to His mercy." When you struggle with your past,
You have to remember that God saved you not because of what you have or haven't done, but because of His kindness and His mercy and His grace, with full knowledge of everything that was a part of your life. God did not save you because somehow you earned your salvation. He saved you because you repented of trying to earn it. Right? Ask the majority of people who don't know Christ how they're going to get to heaven, and they'll tell you they hope they do enough good things. They hope they earn it. When you come to Christ, you say, wow, I give up. I can't earn salvation. Done deal. I'm going to take it by faith because I can't work hard enough to get it. And you repented because the Holy Spirit changed your rebellious heart and turned your heart humbly towards God. And all this because of the mercy of God, the grace of God, and the purpose of God. If you're a Christian today, you might have a pastor to thank, or a mother, or a brother, or a father, or a co-worker, but most of all, you have God to thank for His purpose of grace and salvation in your life. God was the cause of your salvation. The person who shared was God's means to accomplish it. And for every Christian, this is an ever-present wellspring of joy, and I'm the recipient of that joy and not the cause of it. Several years ago, Lauren was traveling back to college on some wintry roads, and she was on Highway 63 just north of Waterloo. I think I've shared a little bit about that before. And as she traveled down the road at highway speeds, a van did not see her white car on a snowy white day and pulled out, and almost T-boned her enough that her car was projected over off the road, over a snowbank, and went airborne and landed kind of nose down, and the car was destroyed, and Lauren was taken out of the car by ambulance, and someone called us and told us what happened, and Heidi and I got in the car and rushed on down to Waterloo with fear because we didn't know if they were telling us everything, and we had these emotions of nothing else in life matters right now. We're going to see our baby who's in the ER, and we really don't know what's going on. But every time we go by that spot on the road, you know what our conversation is? We go by that spot and someone in the car goes, oh, that's an intersection right there where Lauren had her car accident. And we're not thinking about horror and pain and sadness and what could happen. We're going, we're just so glad it turned out the way it did. And Lauren came home for Thanksgiving and she said something about, yeah, I went by that spot in the road. We look at that spot and we're not reminded of the pain and the horror. We're reminded of the fact that she's alive and she's well and she wasn't killed, and we rejoice. And your salvation is like that. It was the pain of your sin and the fact that you're separated from God, the fact that you weren't good enough to earn your salvation, that brought you to the place of salvation. But when you look back at that, you don't remember that. You remember the wonderful kindness and mercy of God and the fact that you're alive and you're going to live forever with God in perfect joy apart from sin. And our salvation is like that. And so when we wrestle with our past, we have to remember there was that point in time for the Christian where God changed everything. And when we look back, sure, we remember some of that stuff, but we say, hallelujah. God saved me. My trajectory is different than it used to be. Do not lose this in your salvation. It's your painful realization of your sinfulness that led you to Christ. And to revisit the cross and where you crossed over into faith, into life in Christ, is a reason for great joy and not endless guilt. Jesus died to pay for your sins. Don't spend the rest of your life making installments on a debt that you don't owe by feeling guilty for your past. Now, the past is important. And it's important how you process it in your mind. And some would say, well, I know this is true, but it still haunts me. I still wrestle with that. And there's stuff that just is an ache in my soul. And the ghost of Christmas past constantly ushers me around and shows me my failures or someone that I know and love. So what should I do? How do I help them? Imagine with me, if you will, that you're standing in this place and behind you is this black, horrible abyss of eternal torment in hell. And before you is Jesus Christ and the cross in His glory, bright and wonderful and glorious. Jesus says, You're forgiven. If you trust me for salvation, if you admit that you cannot earn my favor, if you trust me for salvation, I want you to take that burden off your back, release those straps and take the backpack and drop it behind you and let it fall into that black abyss of hell. And so you do. And you're thankful to God and you love Him. And so before the cross, you take the backpack and release those straps. It's very heavy. And you reach over and you drop it down in the black abyss of hell and it begins to fall and tumble. So with great newfound joy, you watch it fall and fall and fall. And you see those reminders of your past and you're reminded that God forgave you for that. You're amazed at how far that burden has fallen, but you can still see it as you peer over the edge. You think, surely by now the backpack would disappear. And as I lean over the edge and watch, I see it tumbling and tumbling. The backpack rolls over, and as it falls, you're reminded of a particular sin, and your heart sinks for a little bit because you're remembering. Your spirit is grieved, and this goes on for hours and days and years, and you can't believe you can still see the backpack as it tumbles and falls down and down and down. Your neck begins to hurt because you're peering over the edge, and your back is sore from hanging over the edge and watching the backpack fall. How do you bring that to an end, beloved? You know the answer. You turn around and you look at the cross, don't you? And you stop looking at the backpack tumbling in the abyss and you go back to the place where you found your joy and your freedom and your forgiveness. And you look at Jesus and you look at the cross, you look at heaven and you look at a glorious future. And as you do, you begin to forget the backpack still tumbling into the abyss, falling with all of those mistakes and problems and pains of the past. You focus on Christ and His forgiveness and you remind yourself of His love and His payment and His declaration, Romans 8:1. There's no condemnation in Christ. And you say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. And you begin to forget the burden that tumbles behind you. When you come to Christ, He takes the burden of your sin. He releases you from it. And if you hang on to it, and you should not, you need to look back at Christ and rest in your salvation, number one. Number two, you need to trust the wisdom of God. You need to trust the wisdom of God. Verse 9 from 2 Timothy 1 says that He saved us and He called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ before time began. We think of Christmas as an event that happened 2,000, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 years ago. We think of Christmas as being a couple thousand years in the past, but Christmas doesn't look that way to God. We see it as 2,000 years ago. God saw it from the beginning, outside of time. He's eternal. God always was. God always is. God always will be. That's why His name is I Am. I exist. When God created the world that we know, He created the time that it exists in. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and following says that in the beginning God created the heavens and earth, and the earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the surface of the watery depths. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. And then verse 5 says that God called the light day, and He called the darkness night. Then evening came and morning came, the first day. God in His pre-eternal existence created a world in which time would happen as things happen in the solar system and day comes and night comes and morning comes and evening comes. God created time, and when God did that, this passage tells us that Christmas was in the mind of God before it ever was even time, before the ages began. So the question is, when was Christmas perceived in the mind of God? And the answer is before the beginning of time. Question, when did God become aware of your propensity for sin? Answer, before you ever sinned. Question, when did God determine to forgive you, the repentant sinner? Answer, before you were formed. Before you ever sinned, Before you ever repented, God knew every mistake and every failure that you would ever make, and He determined to forgive all those who would repent, knowing who they were, and planned to use their lives and their story for His glory. To move beyond a broken past, you have to trust the manifold wisdom of God. You have to understand that God saw our redemption in Christ before the world began. When God created Adam and Eve and put them in a garden, even before that, before time began, God put Christmas on the calendar. What looks like Christmas 2,000 years ago for us was 4,000 years in the future mind of God for thousands of years before it became the past. And in that scenario, God saw you, your life, your circumstances, your failure, your disappointments, and determined to save you. And if God could do that, He can handle the situations that you find yourself in today. Look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 talks about God's knowledge like this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. On the contrary, Paul says, we speak God's hidden wisdom in a mystery, which God predestined before the ages for our glory. The plan that God's unfolding in this universe, in this world, in your life before you came along was His plan before the ages. God saw the picture of everything. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and following, Peter says, for you know that you were redeemed from your empty way of life, inherited from your fathers, not with perishable things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like a lamb without defect or blemish. Verse 20, He, Jesus, was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end times for you. They're talking about the end times being right then, 2,000 years ago. Jesus Christ and His sacrifice and His blood shed to pay for your sin was planned before the ages. He was predestined for that by God. And when you wrestle with your past and what may have happened and the guilt of it and how could it have been different, what can I do differently, you're forgetting that God saw the whole picture before it ever unfolded and determined to forgive your sin if you would repent and make your life count for His glory. When we fret and worry over our lives and our past mistakes and failures, we're forgetting that God has our lives in His control, not as a last-ditch effort to try and make some good out of things that you do bad, but as a preemptive predestination to accomplish His purposes. The coming at Christ at Christmas was not a past event that God uses to fix broken sin. The coming of Christ at Christmas was 4,000 years in the future for God before it ever became the past. And God is not guessing with your life, your past, or your future. Do you trust Him? If you do, you can rest in your salvation, you can trust in the wisdom of God, and you can let go of your past failures. Verse 12, the Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, I am not ashamed. Some of you right now don't know what it's like to say that. You live with failures, maybe even things that are happening right now, and you feel shame. You feel guilty. You feel bad. Someone said that guilt says I've done a bad thing, and shame takes it all away and says I have just done a bad thing, but shame says I'm a bad person. I'm just bad. And Paul says, I am not ashamed because I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He's able to guard what's been entrusted to me until that day. What's been entrusted to Paul? The gospel, salvation, the knowledge of God, the fact that he's forgiven and his journey with God will take him to heaven. God has trusted him with that. And Paul says, I'm not ashamed because I believe in what God is doing and I trust Him to do what He said He'll do. Christian, if you bear it deeply, today's the day to give up the shame. If you're a Christian, if you've placed your trust in God by admitting your sin, by turning from it, God has entrusted you with the gospel in your heart, in your life. And its life-changing power can carry you through until that day when God finally finishes what He started once and for all. If you carry the guilt of the past, it's not a burden that God intended for you to bear. That's why it's so heavy. It's not yours, it's His. He paid for that. The forgiveness offered by Christ is forgiveness from the sin of the past to give us joy in our relationships today so we can have hope for the future. Jesus paid the price for your guilt so you wouldn't have to keep on paying it day after day after day. Some years ago, I built a garage for a man in our church, not this church, but when I was in a different church. I built a garage for a man with my company. And several things happened in that family's life over the course of building that garage and getting it done. And I sent him a bill and realized that he was unable to pay the bill. He had some job situations and things didn't turn out the way they expected. And this bill became a burden for him. And as time went on, his demeanor fell. We all went to the same church together. And it just was this sort of very awkward thing where this bill just lingered on and on. He couldn't pay it and he was having trouble and work wasn't there and the money wasn't there and it just was this really difficult thing. And a man in our church at that time volunteered to pay that bill and wrote a check for it and paid for his entire bill and said, "You go tell so-and-so the bill's taken care of." And that was so fun. I went to him and I said his name and I said, "You're never going to believe it." I said, "But someone paid your bill. It's all taken care of. It's done. You can forget about it. It's over." And he's like, "What?" I'm like, "Well, yeah, you know, some guys were talking and you guys were having struggle and you just built that and they didn't know if you could handle it and they just took care of it and it's all done." And he was so relieved and tears came to his eyes and he was so happy because this bill that he couldn't pay, this burden that he had incurred was taken away. Now imagine, if you will, if he'd have been ever more mopey afterwards and if he'd have struggled with that and every time, "Oh, I just feel so terrible." It wasn't that way at all. He was overjoyed. If he was mopey and sad and burdened by that, what would you tell him? You would say, "Hey, buddy, the bill's paid. It's taken care of. It's over. You should be happy. You dishonor the person who paid your bill by the fact that you're not rejoicing because he had a fun time doing it." And the same thing happens in your life. Sometimes you look back and you forget that God paid that. And it was with great pain and horror that Jesus went to the cross. But He was willing to do it. And He, for the joy set before Him, endured the cross. Why? The joy of forgiving those who would repent. That's you if you're a Christian. For the Christian, this is freedom in Christ. Because we were forgiven. A debt that we could not pay has been paid for us. And this should drive our joy in the fact that those things that we have done that haunt us are paid for and taken care of and over and in the past. Do you have something in your past that haunts you? You need to turn it over to God today and see the joy of your salvation restored as you receive His payment for your debt with joy. And focus on the life that comes at the cross. When you rest in your salvation, trust in the wisdom of God, and let go of your past failures. Let's pray. Father, forgive me when I try to recarry the burdens of my past that You have forgiven. Father, thank You for the grace and mercy that I received at the cross, which relieves me from the sting of my mistakes. And Father, I pray for a freedom and joy in Christ for each of us like we have never known as we thank You and praise You and rest in the forgiveness that You have provided through Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand and respond. As God so moves you, respond in obedience to what He's saying. He's with us. He gives us the power to do those things. Let's sing together. His name is called. sing it once more. Lift it up to Him. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, His name is called Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, God with us, revealed it us, His name is called Emmanuel. Amen. I'm going to ask you guys to be seated just for a moment to let you know of things that are happening in our church life. I've mentioned these before, but couple of things that you need to know as you leave. The ushers will be there either to receive any benevolence monies you want to give to those in our church who may be in need, especially in this season. And also, they've got more invitations available for next week's choir musical. Again, I keep emphasizing to the choir, especially, and to you guys, that is a time where we can whet their appetite with the gospel, and then we can feed their appetite either at your homes or at Applebee's, or wherever you're able to discuss what they've been a part of that Sunday. So please grab that as you leave and give to that as you would like. The other thing next week you need to know of regarding our church is at 4 p.m., the strategy and vision team will be here in the fellowship hall just to discuss in an open forum as we're continually feeling that God wants us to perhaps govern ourselves in a different way. So please let yourselves be heard and express those things. So those are things regarding the church, our own, and then something you need to know of for our community. As I've already mentioned, the Christmas musical, but the Christmas Eve service as well is geared more towards that. So at 6 p.m. on the 24th this year, we'll have the Christmas Eve service, and make sure to be a part of that and invite your neighbors and those who may want to come. And then finally, as we consider beyond our community here in Rochester, every year at this time, we take up a Lottie Moon Christmas offering. We've set our goal pretty high this year, and I'm glad of that because it's a noble effort we have to put people on the field in places we'll never be able to go, places that they even have to cover their identity.